Okay, like always, our shiurim are Yuli Nishmas, Chai Gittel, and Neshama should continue having Aliyah, and we thank, of course, Frank and Sue for hosting us, as they do every week. Wonderful to be back with you. This is part two in our series of the sanctity of Shabbos, and last week we discussed more philosophically, hashkafically. There's more source sheets here for anyone who didn't get who wants. We discussed philosophically, emotionally, spiritually, what the message of Shabbos is, we hope, or the experience of Shabbos, not just to be about the don'ts and even just the do's in the technical sense, but in the broader sense of experiencing the beauty and the spirituality of Shabbos, and certainly not to focus too much on the don'ts. The truth is that at some point we really should start having some shurim on the don'ts, because they really, really are important, and you can't have half Shabbos. There's no Shabbos with just mitzvos or just spirituality without the discipline that comes with knowing what not to do. But I decided that today we would not go into any of the myriad and almost endless topics that we could discuss about things you can't do on Shabbos, but rather we would focus on the halacha of something that we all must do on Shabbos. I had mentioned last week, and this has really been a theme and a pattern throughout this is the third year of this series, we always try to have a combination and a balance of both machshava and also of halacha. So in this series, we wanted to do both machshava and halacha relating to Shabbos. So I checked back on the notes, and for those of you with very good memories, you recall that not last year, but the year before, we had a series on candle lighting. That's the only series we had specifically relating to halachos of Shabbos. I don't know if we did anything about Shabbos dafka last year, but I thought, okay, if we've done candle lighting, so now let's do Kiddush. So I hope today and perhaps next week as well, because there's still more to do that we're not going to cover today, we would discuss the laws of Kiddush, in general, as they apply to everyone, and specifically with attention to how they apply to women. So that is our topic for today and probably for next week as well, as we kind of do this mini-series, this unit on Shabbos. Again, the larger point and the larger whole full spiritual goal we talked about last week, but there are obviously things that we have to do that are not only a mitzvos, but hopefully the things that will contribute to that hopeful spiritual experience. And obviously, one of is Kiddush, and that's a very, very important one. So if you take a look at the first source on your sheet, you will see that this is a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim, a very famous Gemara actually, that the Pasuk tells us in the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments. If you haven't read the book, there's even a movie. And you can see that it says, Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. There is a mitzvah to remember the day of Shabbos and to sanctify it. There is a parallel version of the Aseret Dibros. They were only given once. Only one mountain, only one giving of the Torah. But we have two different stories that relate to that event. One, when it actually happened in Yisro, and then at the end of Moshe's life, when he does his valedictory address and he reviews his life and everything that happened to the Jewish people in the desert. So we have another recitation or giving over of the story of the Ten Commandments. And there, actually, there is a slight difference because it says not Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, but Shmor Es HaShabbos, to guard or protect the Shabbos. And we have discussed this in the past, that the assumption is that this teaches us Zochor is the mitzvos, like Kiddush, and Shmor is not to do the melachos. And as we say in L'Chadodi every Friday night, Zochor V'Shmor, V'Dibor Echad. And as Rashi tells us from Chazal, this is a miracle. No human being could say things simultaneously. No human being can hear things simultaneously. But a double miracle occurred at the giving of the Torah. Hashem was able to say both Zohar and Shamor simultaneously. And maybe a bigger miracle is that we could hear it simultaneously. Many times over the years, I have tried, and over the years, each one of my kids have tried. Zohar Shamor! You can get it close, but you can't do it exactly simultaneous. It's impossible. It's impossible to say two things at once simultaneously. That was a miracle. Now, why did Hashem do this? Just to flex, ooh, yet another miracle. As if you weren't impressed when he split the Yam Suf, or, no, but no, I can even, not only can I split the Yam Suf, I can even say two words at once. No, he wasn't doing it just to flex, but rather because Gemara tells us, as it very much relates to women in particular, as we have seen 2 years ago, we'll see again in this series, that it's teaching us that there's no such thing as half Shabbos. That is to say, Zohar and Shomer have to go together. You can't divide the assays and the lotases. And we know there have been many Jews over the centuries who consciously or otherwise wanted to do exactly that. Vamei Kiddush, that's nice. Challah, oh, it's so nice. And a meal, who doesn't want to be with their family? And then afterwards, they're going to go drive a car or go to work. So here, I'm not sitting in judgment of them. That's not our role at all now. And many people, certainly at various points in Jewish history, had a tremendous nisayon. If they didn't go to work on Saturday, they couldn't go to work on Monday. I'm not going into all of that now. But at least in the abstract, we have to be clear about what the truth is. And the truth is that there is no such thing as kiddush without keeping the discipline. Challah, but then going to work. Shabbos is not, you know, it's, you know, there are other things they say this about. You know, 99% is nothing. You can't be half. The other thing is half Shabbos. It's Zohar v'Shamor v'Diborecha. They go together. I think it was in a broader context he used this to analogize the whole life of mitzvos, but it certainly relates to Shabbos. I think it was Rav Soloveitchik who so beautifully said, you need to have the discipline so that you can have the romance. Everyone gets excited for the romance and the beauty of the Judaism, and that's the stuff we spoke about last week. Last week was a share about the romance of Judaism, how beautiful it can be, the rendezvous with Hashem. But you can't have a long-term relationship without the rules and the expectations and the discipline. First the discipline, then the romance. That's Zohar v'Shamor. You need to have them both. Okay, so, but we're talking about the Zohar part. Our topic now is Kiddush. And says the Gemara, back to source number one, Zachreo al hayayin b'knisaso. You see from this pasuk, how do you remember Shabbos? Remember Shabbos by saying Kiddush over wine. Ainli ela b'layla, we know that we make Kiddush at night. Bayom minayin, tamalomer zachres, yom ha-Shabbos. It's not just Shabbos, but yom, so it's not only the day, the night of Shabbos, but also the day. Okay, this is one source from Chazal, one Gemara. However, it's important to note that there are other sources, and one of them, even an earlier source than the Gemara, the Toras Kohanim, that's from the same generation of Rabbanim who wrote the Mishnah, that's a generation above, even more authoritative than the Gemara, is the second source on your sheet, the Toras Kohanim, the Medrash, which says, interestingly enough, yes, it says, remember Shabbos. If you didn't know anything, you just landed from Mars, you didn't know anything about Judaism, you never spent a Shabbos in your life, and I just told you that there is a command to remember the Sabbath. How would you, what would you assume if you had no priors, no biases, no nothing, no experience? What would you assume is the method and the means of remembering Shabbos? How would you do that? What mode? In your mind, right? Remember is intellectual, not verbal. So the Medrash acknowledges that. Yochol b'libcha. Maybe you're only supposed to think about Shabbos. Remember Shabbos. Don't forget about it. The way we would use the word forget. But remember, the way we would use the word remember. Remember in your mind. So the Medrash says no. Kishu omer shamor harishmiras lev amura. Hamani mekayim zachor sheyatiyashona ficha. The Medrash says no. Another way of looking at the difference between the first set of luchos, the first version of the luchos, and the second, not the way we had said previously. One is the mitzvos and the romance. The second is the malacha and the discipline. But here is no. If I only had shamor, I would have thought, okay, shamor is I have to think about it. Zachor teaches us that you actually have to articulate it. Now, I'm emphasizing this to you because what is absent in this source that was in the first source? Who noticed? What was absent? Any reference to what? Now, this is it's a referral. We're referring to Kiddush, but what key component of Kiddush is absent in this second source? First person wins a prize. Of my enduring respect.
When you have to do it.
Okay, I take it back. A million things are... That's what I was looking for. You're right, also true. You're right, Tova. But yes.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I'll take you out to a good restaurant in Chicago.
Oh, okay, deal. You're, I'll be serving sushi.
Yes, your husband might be a part owner. Anyway. But if we can get a good deal, then maybe we'll go out together. Okay. So, interestingly enough, and there are other sources like this, that don't mention the wine at all. And if you think about it, there really are two components to Kiddush. There's what we say. And there's the fact that we say it while holding this cup, and then we drink the wine. And the first issue that we need to understand is, what is the actual mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the wine, or is that a integral part of the mitzvah? Or is it the actual words? Or is it both? Which is the mitzvah? This is actually, if you can believe it, because as my many students and even my wife over the years have told me, the rabbis can make anything complicated, a three-way machlokas. Three-way machlokas, oh my God. Anyway, so the majority view is found in the Rambam, next source. Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Kaddish is Yom HaShabbos B'Dvarim. Kiddush is Mitzvah D'Oraisa, it's from the Torah. It's not rabbinic, it's not a custom. Kiddush is a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. That's how we fulfill in the best way possible the Mitzvah of remembering Shabbos by making Kiddush. But it says the Rambam, what is the Mitzvah D'Oraisa? What is the Torah obligation? The words that we say, based on Zachar Shema Shabbos Akacho. As the Rambam says, going into the second line, a very famous formulation, Kolomar, that means to say, Zacharehu Zechiras Shevach V'Kiddush. We sanctify and praise, celebrate Shabbos with the words that we say in the Kiddush. When do we do this? So interestingly, the Rambam has a parallel, maybe later this year, maybe next year. At some point, maybe we'll give a series of Shiram on Havdalah, which is also a very important halacha, and also has unique women halachas, as you know. But the Rambam, I'm not going to dwell on it now, but the Rambam very much associates Kiddush and Havdalah together. They're like bookends. They accomplish the same thing, just mirror images of them of each other. Because they both, if you think about it, you might think, oh, Kiddush and Havdalah are the opposites. The Rambam says they're actually the same. They're both serving the exact same purpose, to separate Shabbos from the other days of the week. Kiddush separates Shabbos from the days that came before it. Havdalah is separating it from what's going to happen next. Parent-child learning, pizza, all the good. Oh, we at work too. I guess that happens during the week also. Okay? But in both cases, the purpose of Kiddush, says the Rambam, is to articulate, to delineate that Shabbos is different than the other days of the week. Mali before, Mali after. It's the same thing. That's the Rambam. I'm not saying everyone has to agree. I'm not sure if it matters or not. But that is a very well-known formulation of the Rambam. But now I want to emphasize the next part. Says the Rambam, Mi divrei sofrim lekadesh al hayayin. The fact that we have to do this with a cup of wine is only rabbinic. Says the Rambam, the primary source among the, again, there's a few of them, but of the two that we saw, the primary source is the Medrash, not the Gemara. When the Gemara says that you have to make Kiddush on wine, that's not a real bona fide source. We do make Kiddush on wine, but that Gemara is not really authoritative. The real mitzvah is the words. The wine is a cherry on top. The wine is something extra. If you think about it, in the secular world, we have a sense of this too. You can give a speech, but sometimes it's more choshev if you give a toast. What's the difference between the toast and the speech? It's the same speech. No, but I'm holding a glass. I'm raising a glass to the chasan and kala or whatever, right? It lends a certain luster and significance to what you're doing. But it's not the cup. It's the words. But the fact that I said those words, whether to the Shabbos queen, or to the bride and groom, whoever it is that I'm saying it to, or I don't know, the company just raised $1 million and we're going to have a big corporate party and we're going to make an announcement. So it's not just because people like to drink. That's probably true too. But there's a certain chashivas that people said this toast over the... So says the Rambam, that Kiddush really is the words. That's what's important. But we add a wine because it gives it a certain chashivas, but that's really secondary. The Tosfos have a kind of a middle position in the next source and says... No, the mitzvah is to hold the wine. Like I said, and like we know from experience, those same words come across as much more with gravitas. If I'm holding a cup, I'm making a toast. But to drink the wine, all the halachos, how much to drink, and can't talk, and that's the derabbanan. Says Tosfot, tzarech sheyitom, the actual tasting, drinking the wine? I know that's some people's favorite part, okay, but says Tosfot, that's the part that's rabbinic. But the nuance is that Tosfos thinks that holding the cup, having a cup full of wine while I say the words of Kiddush, that is part of the mitzvah. According to the Rambam, everything about the wine is secondary. Tosfos has his middle position. And then the final position, which you have in the next source, Or Zarua, who was a great Rishon from Germany, so he actually says, no, what are we doing here? Go back to the first source we saw. The very first source we saw couldn't be clearer. What does the Gemara say? Zachrehu al hayayin. Make the Kiddush over a cup of wine and drink it. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa. So a three-way machloket. Okay, we took one little line of Gemara and we made it complicated. Three different opinions. Is the mitzvah from the Torah just the words? Is it the words while holding a glass? Or is it even drinking? Now you'll say to me, who cares? Does it make a difference? After all, everyone, including the Rambam, agrees that you have a glass and drink. No one's arguing about what to do. So the answer is it may very well make a difference. Take a look at the next source, Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham was a Polish posek, one of the commentaries, one of the primary commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, very, very important posek from a few hundred years ago. And he says as follows. He says, we paskin, and the Mishnah Berurah says it below, we follow the majority view. Even though I just gave you one, two, and three opinions, because I didn't want to make a 10-page source sheet, but most of the opinions follow the Rambam. Ramban says it, and others. And this is how the Magen Avraham paskins, quotes the Rambam. And he says, we have to realize, what is the implications of this? And now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road. Why does this matter? Why did we just spend 7-8 minutes on this? Because we have to understand that the essence of Kiddush is the words that we're saying, not the wine. We drank it, we didn't drink it, you pass it around, grape juice, not grape juice. You have one of those pitcher cup things, you have all the things, you have glass, you have silver, you have, it doesn't matter, ceramic, it doesn't matter how you give out the wine. It's all good, it's nice, it's a mitzvah. But it's not the main mitzvah. The main mitzvah is the words. So first of all, it's always just good to know what we're doing. We should understand. It's a different experience. It's a different Judaism when we actually know what's happening. And we're just doing what our husbands are telling us to do or our parents taught us to do. We should know what we're doing. The real mitzvah is the words. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Says the Magen Avraham, 1 second. If the idea is that with our words, as the Rambam said, we have to acknowledge Shabbos, praise Shabbos, acknowledge that Shabbos is different than the days that came before it. Well, is the only way to do that Kiddush? Didn't something else happen already on Shabbos before that? We do almost the same thing with some of the same words in davening on Friday night. If you daven Maariv on Friday night, I'm not even discussing Kabbalah Shabbos, Machadodi, maybe that's something else, but part of the Shemona Esrei, on Maariv Friday night, you will notice there are paragraphs there that are completely overlapping with the text of Kiddush. Now, obviously you don't have Hagafen, obviously you don't have the wine, but what did we just say? That the wine is not really part of the mitzvah, it's a secondary thing. It's an afterthought, it's a rabbinic addition. But if the essence of Kiddush is the words that we say, that acknowledge Shabbos, that designate Shabbos, so says the Magen Avraham, nearly where it's underlined, the Midaraisa, the Kiddush Sha'amar Betfila Sagi. If you say Maariv, in essence, says the Magen Avraham, which every man does, and some amount of women do as well, that is really Kiddush. That is really Kiddush. Wow. Now, just to see how far you could take this, skip a source, we'll go back. Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is already now another generation closer to us, but still, talking a while ago, already 50 years ago, major, major league posek. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, let's take the logic even further. Whether a person did or didn't say Shimon Esrei, this is really going to blow your mind, where it's underlined, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Kol Shemazkir Shabbos V'Omer Shabta Tavta Gam Kein Yotze Demikol Makom Hiskir Shabbos. Once we're saying it doesn't have to be Kiddush per se, it can even be the davening, why stop there? It could even be, he says, when a person says, in his words, Shabta Tavta. Who wants to translate that?
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos! Come home from shul, good Shabbos! Good Shabbos. Well, I don't say that on Tuesday. I'm probably not going to say it on Sunday. Good Shabbos is basically Kiddush, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What, Kiddush? I thought Kiddush with the wine, the whole thing. Pass the cups. If you're in my house, Rabbi Galib always spills. And even when there aren't guests, it's not just me being frum to like, not that the guests shouldn't be embarrassed. I just do it because I can't somehow pour the cups into the thing. And we've tried many methods. It's very, very, I'm consistent. If all of a sudden I stopped spilling, my wife wouldn't know what to do with me. Who's the imposter who I'm married to? He always spills. So I try to continue to be consistent. Okay, so I thought that's Kiddush. Now comes along Rabbi Akiva Eiger and says, good Shabbos is Kiddush. He's not saying that to make Kiddush, you understand? Because there's all these extra things you get, especially the wine. But the words, in their essence, if you really boil them down. Now, why does this matter? First of all, it's just fascinating. Right? It's fascinating. But it matters because if it's true, this could have many ramifications. So for example, going back a source in the Mishnah Berurah, he mentions, let's say a person, and you know, we're all getting a little older. I mean, like by definition, we're all getting older. But some of us are really getting, colloquially getting older. Our memories aren't always what they used to be. Let's say a person is not sure if they made Kiddush or not. They have a suffix. It's hard to imagine what the scenario would be that you can't remember Kiddush. A lot of other things we forget. I don't know how many times we forgot we made Kiddush. But I could dream up a scenario, maybe you're sick and you're on cold medicine, you're on this and Dramamine and you're sleeping and you're, who knows, you can't remember. I've had that where sometimes you were sick and you woke up, you know, 11 o'clock at night on Friday night, you were at the meal, you can't remember, did I make it? And I could imagine such a scenario, hypothetically. What do you do? Do I make Kiddush again? Or, I mean, do I make Kiddush? But I'm not sure. Maybe I did make Kiddush already. We have this a lot in Judaism, right? In halacha. Safek, I'm not sure. What should I do? I did make the bracha. I didn't make the bracha. What's the general rule we have about when in doubt in Judaism, in halacha? It depends on if it's a mitzvah from the Torah or rabbinic. If it's da'oraisa, safek l'chomra. You better do it again just in case. If it's rabbinic, we say you can do without. You can be lenient. Well, now, what is Kiddush? You tell me. Is Kiddush da'oraisa or da'rabanan? So if you, I would have thought Kiddush is da'oraisa. Zachar Shabbos Shabbos Lakacho. So therefore, if I'm not sure if I made Kiddush or not, I should do it again. And maybe it's not again, maybe it's the first time. Whatever, I should do it. But says the Mishnah Berurah, 1 second. Let's say I don't know if I made Kiddush, but I do know that I daven Marv. I do know that I said Good Shabbos to my spouse. So maybe if we go so far as to say, like Rabbi Kiva Eger or the Magen Avraham, then maybe I'm ready Yotze Daraisa, and the whole Kiddush is only Darabana, and I can be Mekel when I'm in doubt. Now we're talking about a major nafkamina. I'll give you another nafkamina. Let's say the wife didn't daven Marv. I think it was also maybe that first year, maybe last year, I remember one of the previous years in this series, we've had a shiur on women in davening. We said that generally speaking, we assume women are not obligated to daven Marv. Shacharis and Mincha, yes. Marav, no. What can you get away with? How much of Shacharis? We're not repeating that. It's all online. All the shiurim are available online. We did discuss that. I think we had at least 2 or 3 shiurim on that. But Marav, not everyone. So again, some women daven Marav. I would say, by the way, P.S., I don't know, some of the people in this room go to our shul, some people go to other shuls. I know that in Israel in general, and including in our shul, women coming to shul on Friday night is much more common in Israel than it is outside of Israel. It's beautiful. It's also probably a function of the fact that the time that women were used to going to shul in England or in America or South Africa, shul's already over in Israel. So women want to go to shul at least once if they're waiting for the morning. You know, we had guests, my aunt and uncle were visiting us this past Shabbos from Westchester, from New York, and my aunt was happy to go to shul with my wife, so we're, you know, clearing off the table Friday night. So my aunt says to my wife, I'm going to go to shul with you. My wife says, no problem. She says, what time do you go to shul? She said, 8:45. I don't think my aunt has been to shul that early in her life. Nothing wrong with my aunt. My aunt's normal. In America, shul doesn't start till 9. What do you mean go to shul at 8:45? Yeah, but if you want to get to Kriyas HaTorah, forget Muslim, you know, forget Shacharis, just to get to Kriyas HaTorah, you have to go at 8:45. Shul starts at 8:15. Then maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should make it later. I don't know. Maybe we were more popular if we were later. That's not up to Kriyas HaTorah. I'm saying not starting. We start our shul starts at 8:15. Anyway, the point is that many women do daven marv. That's all my point is. But let's say a woman didn't daven marv, which is not uncommon, even in Israel, certainly outside of Israel. If you don't go to shul, get some people daven at home. But let's say you have a lot of little kids, or you never were used to davening a marv. It's okay. You don't have to daven marv. It's one of the benefits of being a woman. You don't have to daven marv. But let's say the husband did daven marv, we hope. And let's say he said Good Shabbos, but his wife was too busy, you know, getting things on the blech, she didn't say Good Shabbos back. Maybe he didn't say Good Shabbos, and then I'll talk to him about marriage issues at a separate time. But the bottom line is, he davened at least, right? Let's assume at least he davened. Can he make Kiddush for his wife now? Whoa. I'm turning over the whole table of Judaism now. Our whole lives are based on coming home Friday night, husband makes Kiddush. 1 second. We're all obligated in Kiddush. So how could one person make Kiddush for anybody else? Come on, Rabbi Gottlieb. In halacha, that's a common thing. People who have an obligation can help other people fulfill the obligation. But what if I don't have an obligation anymore? I davened. So I only have a rabbinic obligation to daven with make kiddush with the wine. But my wife, maybe, for example, hypothetically, if she didn't daven marav, she still has the Torah obligation. Can I be motzi her? Wow. So I'm going to come up with a new chumrah, not a kula. I'm a chumrah. A new chumrah is that women have to make kiddush for the family. How's that going to sell? I'm moving out of Ramat Beit Shemesh quick. I'm just spelling these things out. Logically, these things all might follow. And they're all mentioned not by the radical Rabbi Gottlieb, but actually in the Bir Halacha, which I skipped over, in the Mishnah Berurah, excuse me. He mentions all these possibilities. So the reason that we're not going to overturn your entire experience of Judaism on Friday night, and I'm not as radical as I seem, is because even though these things could make a lot of sense logically, we don't really accept these things practically, l'halacha. That is to say, yes, it's true that the mainstream view is that the essence of Kiddush is the words, not the wine. We do accept that as a practical halacha. But, and therefore, if a person just had a question about Kiddush itself, and he's half in the Dramamine, half in his sinus medication, and he can't remember, you know, jet lag, sleeping pills, all the things. Can't remember, did I make Kiddush? I woke up at 1 in the morning on Friday night, I can't remember, I made Kiddush, and make Kiddush. So then we would say, it could be, if you know you daven marav, if you know you daven marav, maybe that's sufficient. Maybe. Or just tell me, I have a suffix, so maybe. But in the case of, do we go so far as to say the Good Shabbos or the davening? So there, for all sorts of general reasons, we don't necessarily go as far as to say that that would be enough. In part because there are certain elements we're not going to get into now. There are certain elements that you know because you hear Friday night Kiddush every week. We not only mention Shabbos, we mention Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. We have other themes in Kiddush which may not be included in the davening, and they're certainly not included if you just say Good Shabbos. So we don't go as far. Again, it's logically interesting thought experiment to go as far as Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Good Shabbos is Kiddush? Wow. Maybe even. But we don't really accept that lahalacha. And therefore, the way you've been doing Shabbos Friday night your whole lives is fine. But it just you should just know it's actually, beneath the surface, it's actually more complicated. And there could be some practical differences. There could be some nafkaminas, even in normal situations, if a person... I'll give you one final example, right? It's not uncommon for those who make aliyah for the husbands to travel. And certainly not in the Gottlieb house. So in my house, for example, everyone's ready over bar mitzvah. But let's say your husband's traveling, a man is traveling, and they have a 12-year-old son at home, and the wife is at home. Who should make kiddush?
The wife.
So, a very interesting question. If you assume that the only kiddush is kiddush is kiddush, so then the wife absolutely should make kiddush, because she's d'oraisa, he's d'rabbanan. But what if she davened? Maybe now she's now on the same level as her son, because if you hold the davening is enough. So there could come out all sorts of nafkaminas. And the Mishnah Berurah mentions that as well. And he says, at least again, in theory, it makes sense that maybe, based on this whole new theory, in certain scenarios, an under bar mitzvah, but again, I don't mean like an 8-year-old or a 5-year-old, but let's say a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, maybe would be able to make kiddush for his mother, if they're really now on the same level because she davened. But in the end, he says, we don't do that. It's still better for the mom to do it. But again, these are all possibilities that are at least discussed in light of this. Adkan Friday night Kiddush. What about Shabbos morning? What about Shabbos morning? So if you go back to the first source on the sheet, the Gemara had said, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos. That's not only in the night. Zohar even is Yom HaShabbos, in the day of Shabbos. Right? Perhaps. Does that mean the Shabbos Kiddush is the same on night and day? So take a look now at the next source. We're 2/3 of the way down on the front page. The Gemara Pesachim says, what's Kiddush, what is the Nusach? Now we all know that the Nusach of Kiddush on Shabbos morning is different. In some families they say like one Pasuk, then Bar Perei Gofen. Some say two, and some just say, in certain Hasidic circles, they just say Bar Perei Gofen. But it's certainly a shorter Kiddush. Anyone know what the name of Kiddush Shabbos morning is? Anyone know the name? Close. Kiddusha Rabba, the great Kiddush. But that's really intended ironically. Take a look at the next source, is the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bayom my mevarich, Gemara Pesachim, Am Rav Yehuda Bar Perei Gofen." The whole essence of Kiddush is in the morning, Bar Perek Gafen. The Gemara then tells a story, we won't read it inside, but it tells a story about a certain rabbi who was invited to a town, and they had Kiddush and Shul, and they invited him to be Mechabed the Rav, mit Kiddush. But he wasn't sure what's the minhag. Do they say Savri? What, which psukim do they say? Shamru, they don't say. What do they say? Al-Kain, Beirach, what do they say? So he said, no, I'll just say Bar Perek Gafen. You can't go wrong with that. Then I'll see. If people start drinking right away, then I'll know I'm done. If they are looking at me weird, then I'll know I have to add some other things. He said, Bar Perek Gafen, they started drinking. He said, oh. You see from this that the essence of Kiddush Shabbos morning is really just the Bar Perek Gafen, and we basically call it Kiddusha Rabbah, according to many authorities, as a way of kind of like making it feel good.
So then how can you use schnapps, which many people do, or challah even? People
yes. So those are good questions. We're not going to discuss either of them today, but maybe next week. The challah one is really obscure. You're right, just since it was mentioned. There is a halacha that if you have no wine...
But you can use challah.
Yes, you can. It's very, very rare that people rely on that, because thank God we don't usually need to. But the schnapps one is a much more common question. Maybe we'll discuss that next week. Okay?
What about grape juice instead of wine?
So that would be the same category. I'm saying, I can answer you shorthand, but I'd rather not, because I haven't decided yet what to talk about next week, but maybe that'll be... I don't want to ruin my shear.
I'm going to have to come now.
I'm no fool. Bring a friend. Okay. So many Mefarshim point out that we call it Kiddusha Rabbah, the great Kiddush, the same way you might call your little brother the big guy. It's a way of just making you feel good. But Adarabbah, it's actually much less important. It's also smaller. And we generally accept, according to the halacha, what the Ran says in the next source, this is the way we assume, that Kiddush on Friday night is the Daraisa. Kiddush Shabbos morning, the whole kit and caboodle, the words, the wine, and everything... Kiddush Shabbos morning is only rabbinic. Kiddush Shabbos morning is rabbinic. The real mitzvah of Kiddush is the Friday night Kiddush. And the Ran says that in the next source. And basically, in the Gemara, we started off, say, Kiddush and Yom, not only in Laila. The answer is it did. But just like the Gemara also there seemed to say that the essence of Kiddush is the wine. We don't accept that Gemara. That Gemara is all really should be understood not as a primary source, but only rabbinic. It's what we call an asmachta. It's a hint, it's an allusion, but it's not a bona fide source. The bona fide source is that Kiddush really, really is the words, not the wine, and it's really Friday night, not Shabbos morning. Now, with all of this, now comes question. Now, again, I didn't answer your question because I may want to discuss this next week, but given that we assume that Kiddush on Shabbos morning is only rabbinic, so that's maybe. Do not quote me as saying that. Do not quote me as saying that. I didn't say that. I said maybe. That's why there's a discussion. Yeah, that's where there's a discussion. I will tell you that not this past year, because this past year Simchas Torah was a whole other story, but the previous Simchas Torah, when the world was still normal, so in our shul, like many shuls, after the Hakafos, we have a big Kiddush. So they were waiting for me to make Kiddush. I was like, you know, still sweaty and out of breath from all the dancing and everything else, and we're trying to get all the food, the mass of people there. Then you got to fight the kids, who are all like in elite army units, and they know how to find. If we sent those kids in, you just told them there's a Kiddush in the tunnels. They would find the hostages, the kids. I can tell you that. Oh boy, then a plate this big. There's more food on that plate than the kid is. Anyway, so we couldn't find the wine in the waiting. So somebody just poured in my cup some schnapps, and I made Kiddush. I heard someone gasp while I was saying Kiddush, and you weren't even there. And people said, are you allowed? Can you do it? So the next Shabbos Bereishis, I give a men's shiur every Shabbos morning. It's not fair, only the women should get my shiurim. I also give the men some shiurim. I gave a men's shiur Shabbos morning, and that was the whole topic. And I'm not saying I did the right thing, but that you will have to find out next week if we do that topic. But I did give a shiur about that. Okay?
But on schnapps, you make the shahakol, no?
Obviously. That's a given. But the question is, are you allowed to make kiddush on schnapps? I'm not committing. I just said maybe.
What about shahakol wine?
All of this, you asked three questions, they're all the same question, which is you're talking about what is the wine that we're using, and that's not our topic right now. Are women obligated? Yeah. Do you have to say or not? So this is the Gemara. I'm going to do it quickly now. Earlier in the shir, I mentioned the whole Luchadodi, Zachar Vashamar, Vidibarecha, the miracle. So this is the source. Second to last source on the page. Look at the bottom. Gemara Brachos, Chafam and Beis. That's where the Gemara says this. Women are obligated. Noshim Chayavos Bekiddush Hayom, Dvar Torah. Bar Torah means midaraisa, bona fide, truly obligated. And we now know that Hayom really means Halayla. Welcome to Talmudic language. Hayom means the day of Shabbos, but the day of Shabbos we just saw merely means the night. The real mitzvah of Kiddush is at night, and women are obligated 100%. And the Gemara says, how could it be? Isn't it mitzvah sasei shazman grama? It's a time-bound mitzvah. Aren't women usually potter from those such mitzvahs? And the Gemara says, yes, but there's exceptions. And one of the exceptions is Kiddush. Why? Because zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad. You can't have half Shabbos. So since women are for sure prohibited, women can't turn on a light, women can't cook, women can't drive, women can't sew, women can't do anything on Shabbos, can't plow, can't plant, women are obligated in 39 malachos like a man. Once you're obligated in the Shamor, Mameli, you're obligated in the Zachor. You can't split Shabbos. It's all or nothing. And since we know that women are already halfway in, they have to do the malachos. I mean, they can't do the malachos. So they also have to do the mitzvos. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch, bottom source. Let's read this together. Now, inside. Says Shulchan Aruch unequivocally, Noshim chayavos bekiddush, afo pi shehu mitzvah seishas man grama. Yes, it's true that Kiddush is a time-bound mitzvah, and yet, women are totally obligated in it. Mishum de'iskish zachor l'shamor, as we saw before, because zachor and shamor go together. And therefore, you'll say, okay, why are we making such a big deal about this? What's underlined, last section on the page. Umotzios es ha'anoshim, ho'och v'chayavos min ha'torah kamosam. Wow. Says the Shulchan Aruch, theoretically, the wife can make Kiddush. There's no halachic problem with a wife being motzi her husband, or that, for that matter, any man, but that just might be weird, in making a Kiddush for a man. Because women and men have the same obligation. The Mishnah Berurah, turn over the page, top source on the page. Mishnah Berurah says the same thing, and he makes it very clear where it's underlined, top of the page. The Le'inyan Kiddush, Anoshim V'Noshim Shavin. It's the same obligation. Men and women are equally obligated. Now, in most Orthodox homes that I'm familiar with, the women do not make Kiddush. Why not? Can you get a more authoritative, accepted source than the Mishnah Berurah? Mishnah Berurah says it. Not some progressive liberal rabbi. The Mishnah Berurah said it. So how come it doesn't happen? So I think there are, at least broadly speaking, say two or three answers. One is custom. But I don't just mean custom in the sense of we're just used to doing everything we always did or what we always saw, although that's something. But I think it's a little, in this case, it might be more than that, in that it's clear from the sources, explicitly about challah, but also about Kiddush, that Balabais, the head of the house, makes the Kiddush, the head of the house makes does the challah. And the titular head of the home in traditional Judaism is the husband, is the father. I didn't mean who's actually the boss. That's obviously something else. I think I've told you the story. I think I've told you the story, right, about with my son Yaakov when he was in first grade. And all the time he asked me for anything important, I gave the same answer that every husband and father ever has given, which is, you have to ask mommy. And then he went to school and he started learning Chumash Bereishis. They told him that after, you know, Chava sinned, one of the punishments with the Eitz Hadas was that it says, Huyim Shobach, the husband's going to be in charge of you. So I was putting him to bed that night, and he told me what he learned that day. And I said, oh, it's so nice. He says, Abba, how come you always say mommy's the boss? The Rebbe said, you're the boss. To which I said, you now just learned the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh. It may say that the husband's the boss, but I've never met a husband who's the boss. This is a true story. Yaakov is now 23 and in a bush on the Gaza border. I mean, on the Lebanon border, I should say. He's on the Lebanon border. But when he was 6 and in Baltimore, this happened at bedtime in our house. I told him that's exactly, most of the time, you know, as you know, most times in life, it's like an hour later or a day later. Oh, I should have said that. Every now and then Hashem gives you the gift and the words that come at the right time. So that's what I would have wanted to say to him. And I said it, Hashem gave me the siyata d'shamayim to say that right then. I said, you now know the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh. Just because it's written that way doesn't mean that's how it's practiced. Yes, don't worry, mommy is the boss. So I think so there's a second reason. It's not just, well, my father made Kiddush, my grandfather made Kiddush. It's not just to do the same thing that we try to do. I think it's more than that. It's that Kiddush or Challah, these things are done by the titular head of the family. And the Baal HaBayis in a normal, in a, you know, intact Jewish family is considered the father. But there's a third reason why I think we try to avoid that if we can, and that is mentioned in the next source, the Shaar Tzion, in which he says it's not so simple that a woman can be motzi a man. He's not convinced it's not true, but he says it's not clear. It's a machloket. He's not questioning, again, just in case I should have specified this for those who are not familiar. The Shaar HaTzion, it's the name, it's a different name, but that is the Mishneh Berurah. It's the same person. You know this, I've said this before, and you knew this even if I wouldn't tell you, that Judaism has a very interesting practice. In Judaism, we call great rabbis not by their name, but by their book. If you, I don't think there's a secular analogy to that. You say, so, you know, Ernest Hemingway wrote whatever. You don't call Ernest Hemingway or whoever, Agatha Christie, you don't call her Sherlock Holmes, or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, whatever. You don't, right? You don't, but in Judaism, right, the Rambam's name wasn't Rambam, and the Chafetz Chaim's name wasn't Chafetz Chaim, and any other person you can think of, right? We often call them by the name of their book. So it's confusing because some people wrote more than one book. But that's the reality. So the Chafetz Chaim is the Mishneh Berurah, who is the Bir Halacha, who is the Shaar HaTzion. It's all the same person. So when I tell you here the Shaar HaTzion, second source on the page, he's not so sure if a woman can make kiddush for a man. He's not schizophrenic. In the source right above, he said, I said the Mishneh Berurah says women and men are equal in kiddush. And the Shulchan Aruch also said a man can be, a woman can be motzi. So in the Mishneh Berurah at the bottom, he's not backtracking one inch, one iota from his ruling that women are obligated in kiddush midaraisa Friday night, just like the man, just like the husband. It's a different question, which is, can I be motzi somebody? That requires a certain different halachic mechanism. This whole idea, which we take for granted because we've been doing it our whole lives, the idea that one person says kiddush and I'm yotze, how come we don't all say kiddush? And many, many other examples. Maybe we should all read Megillah. Forget women's laning, not women's laning. How about every one of us has to read the Megillah? We're all obligated to Megillah. Maybe we should all blow a shofar. So we take it for granted that there's this mechanism in halacha that one person could do something, and somehow there's this magic in halacha, there's these invisible halachic strings attaching us. It exists. I'm not trying to, you know, turn over another sacred cow. I'm not denying it. Of course it exists. But it's not so obvious, the Shaar HaTzion points out, that a woman can be motzi a man. A woman can be woman motzing other women, he's not questioning. A woman motzing a man, it could be, he's not sure. So I think those are probably, if you're asking me, I'm just, this is Gottlieb speculation now, if you're asking me, how come in very, very rare, in most mainstream Orthodox families, the husband makes kiddush, and I don't think there's such a movement to change that, and I wouldn't advocate such a movement, the answer again is not only it's minhag, not only because kiddush kind of symbolizes the head of the house, and titularly the husband is the head of the house, but also because it's not so clear halachically if it would work. I'm not saying you couldn't do it if you had no choice. If you had a husband who was really in bed and he couldn't talk or something like that, he had oral surgery or something like that, if you asked me what to do and there was no other choice, I would say to the wife, you should make kiddush for him. But l'chadchila to do that, I think we do try to avoid that. Okay, and by the way, just to point out, this is true for the Shabbos morning Kiddush as well. Now we have about 10 minutes left. I want to discuss a very important topic, which is relevant to everybody, but it's definitely relevant to women. In part because I think most people, maybe even in this room, don't know this, which is, are you allowed to eat or drink anything before Kiddush? So it's not such a common issue on Friday night, unless it's like the Asar B'Tavis or something like that. People are starving or whatever, right? But Shabbos morning is very common, right? You might not have lunch until 11:30, 12, whatever it is. And if you didn't go to shul and you didn't hear kiddush, so is a woman allowed to eat or drink before hearing kiddush? I think that's actually very common. Should a woman make kiddush for herself before her husband comes home? Must she? So that's a big topic, but we'll try to do it in 7-8 minutes. If you take a look, a few sources down, this is the Gemara Masecht HaPesachim. The Gemara tells us something very, very interesting, that Shabbos, innately, in its cosmic, metaphysical, spiritual reality, Shabbos itself has a reality, has a life of its own, and even though Kiddush, etymologically, we are sanctifying the Shabbos, but it's not as if we're creating its sanctity. We're affirming a reality which exists whether we open our mouth or not. Shabbos itself is innately kadosh, and that's not just some metaphysical thing for people who want to meditate about it on a mountain. It has actual bona fide, tangible ramifications. Says the Gemara, anything you, there's no such thing, we say we're noshing. Says the Gemara, you can't nosh in a sense on Shabbos, in the sense that by definition, anything you eat on Shabbos is important, is chashuv, because it's Shabbos. It's a Shabbos meal, whether you think you're snacking or not. Now, why does that matter? So it matters for things that relate to miser and tithing. We don't have time to get into those details now, but the Gemara is talking about tithing. But the Gemara says, just like it's true about tithing, kach Shabbos kova'as l'kiddush. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, look where in the parentheses, Rashi says, sha'asar lit'om ad shi'kadesh. Shabbos, we don't say, well, once you've made kiddush, now it's all of a sudden holy. No. Shabbos exists as a reality even before anyone said kiddush. And therefore, from the moment that it's Shabbos, there becomes an obligation to make kiddush. And if you haven't, you're not allowed to eat. We don't say it only became sanctified and the mitzvahs kick in after the kiddush. No. From the moment there's Shabbos, it's already obligatory. And the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, and again, in a way that I don't think most people know, Asur litom klum kodem shiyakadesh afilu mayim. You can't even drink. Nothing. Now, the Mishnah Berurah and the next paragraph explains to go so far is maybe only a rabbinic prohibition, but he says it clearly. Even if a person didn't light, hypothetically, light Shabbos candles to accept Shabbos, or is it Shabbos morning, I didn't, it doesn't matter. Friday night, automatically, there is a Shabbos. That if you accept Shabbos before it gets dark, so then for sure. But even before, even without that, once it gets dark, you're obligated and you can't do anything until you've made Kiddush. What about even water, says the Mishnah Berurah? Okay, you can wash your mouth out. If you had, you know, bad taste in your mouth, something like that. But to drink, it could be a problem no matter what. So this is, I think, first of all, an important halacha. I don't know that every woman knows this, especially if she doesn't go to shul Friday night. Maybe she's waiting, her husband's schmoozing a little bit. I assume everyone passed around the same meme two Friday nights ago. You know, I must have gotten it from my mother-in-law and from my wife and from everybody else. Now the women will see how long davening Friday night really takes. Okay, but it could be a little while. Sometimes people are a little hungry, they nosh. Or maybe you want to just check the chicken soup. Is it, you know, how does it taste? You're not allowed. You're not allowed. It is prohibited. So it seems that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, if you take a look at the next source, Halichos Besa. This is a very important sefer. You know why? This sefer was written by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's nephew, and it's all about the laws of women in halacha. And it's important because, not because I own it and have it in my house. If you've seen my library, you know that that's not special because I have like a lot of books. But this is one of my most special books. You know why? Because my wife brought this one into the marriage. She got it as a bat mitzvah gift. I won't tell you how many years ago that was. But my wife, she didn't have that many svarim when we got married. That's more my thing. But one of the svarim which I incorporated and put in my library was this sefer, which she got as a bat mitzvah gift. If I remember correctly, I think it was from Joel Wolowski. She got this particular book. And it's a great sefer. So I said, I'm taking it. She said, no problem. So what does he say? Very important sefer. A woman who lights candles. Came and she meets out a minhag, that's already Kabbalah Shabbos, which we discussed 2 years ago. The shirim are all online. That when a woman lights Shabbos candles, that's what makes it Shabbos for her, even if it's not dark yet. Because, so every woman knows she can't do malacha when she did Shabbos, when she lit candles. It says, but we just saw now, it's not just that. You can't eat or drink anything after you light candles, because now it's Shabbos, even if it's not dark. If it's dark, it happens automatically, the Gemara said. But no, even if you accept Shabbos when it's daytime. And then he says where it's underlined. If it's before sunset, before the time where you're not supposed to do it, then he says, Yesh lahakel b'makom tsar im eina yuchal l'kadosh ata. So the only wiggle room on Friday night to eat or even drink something before hearing Kiddush is if it's not dark yet. In the winter, where pretty much it's dark right away, no one's making lighting candles that much before it gets dark anyway, so then there's really not much to talk about. But maybe there's a little window. In the summer, sometimes people might make Shabbos an hour and a half, 2 hours before it gets dark. Okay. So in that window, even though technically, really, really, once a woman lights candles, it's early Shabbos and that's it. But there he says, if it's really, really necessary, and she's really, really thirsty, or she's really, really hungry, maybe a little bit of tima, a little taste is okay. But once it gets actually dark, that it really, really isn't allowed. Now, let's say a woman has a blinding headache and she needs to take Advil and she needs to do this. So I'll say a very simple solution. She should make Kiddush. It's okay. There's no, a woman's obligated in Kiddush. Your husband's not home yet. You need to taste something. You need to drink something. So then make Kiddush. Let's say you should make a practice out of it. Why not? But you can't drink or eat without making Kiddush. This is true on Shabbos day as well. Again, we have a few minutes left, but if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch a little bit below that, he says the same thing. Shlo yitom kodem, not only Kiddush at night, but also during the day. Now, the interesting thing is, and we'll just finish up with these two halachos now, is that the daytime is slightly more complicated because women are obligated to daven shacharis. And every day there's a similar halacha, which is that we're not really supposed to eat or drink until we daven. So on Shabbos, there's two separate halachos. One is we're not supposed to eat or drink before we daven, and there's a separate halacha, which is we're not supposed to eat or drink until we make Kiddush. So the poskim explain, they make order out of this. It's not a balagan. It's very simple. There are really two separate halachos. Until you've davened, then there's the same halacha 7 days a week, which I'll get to what the answer to that is in a second. That you don't need Kiddush for, because you have issues about eating or drinking before davening every day. Once you've said shacharis, this is for a man and or a woman. Once you've said shacharis, now a new halacha comes in. You said shacharis, you're obligated to make Kiddush. Okay, you don't want to make Kiddush till 11:30? You don't have to make Kiddush till 11:30, but then you can't eat or drink anything. There's two separate halachos. So what's the halacha every day? Every day, there are some chassidim and others who are makel, and there is a room maybe for some women to be more makel too, maybe. But the general halacha is for men especially, but even really for women ideally, is until you daven, you're really only supposed to have water. Now, in the modern era, many, many, many poskim, this is my personal practice for sure, is they've expanded water to include things like coffee. And then once upon a time, people said coffee, but not milk or sugar. And I think now it's pretty very much mekubal. The way you drink a normal coffee, you could have even before davening. As often as possible, I try to have coffee before I daven. 7 days a week, including on Shabbos. But, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But more than that, a person really shouldn't have. A man especially. For a woman, I would say make brachos. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not only Shabbos. If you do brachos, okay, fine, now you can have maybe a little bit more. But really, until you die. Now, thank God, we've done a lot of things over 3 years. Go online. I have shurim that we gave in this, well, not in this room, we gave it maybe in Shira Platnik's house, I think. I give shurim on women in davening. All sorts of different options how a woman can be fulfilling her obligation in davening. But whatever that is, and there are more leniencies for women, but once a woman does what she usually does, now she's yotzei that. Now the woman has what obligation? Kiddush. Now we're talking about a new thing, not the same thing that's true the other 6 days of the week. So it seems like from this, really, really ideally, a woman shouldn't eat anything really either on Shabbos. However, if you just take a look on the last two sources, so the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that he thinks a woman could be a little bit more mekel on Shabbos day than maybe a man. He says, "Af im nashim ocheles achilas arai lifnei atfila pamim mishum shachul she'af ocheles prusas uga, maybe even a little mazonos mestaber de'enan srichin lekadesh." In other words, says Rosh Hashanah and Orbach, you really better to do whatever davening you're going to do without eating too much if you can. But once you've davened, you're supposed to make kiddush. So there's two options. The first option, which I think is really recommended, I just don't know how common it is you do not need to wait for your husband to come home from shul if you haven't gone to shul and you want to eat. So daven, whatever you daven, even if it's just your brachos, then make kiddush. Then eat whatever you want. That's kind of the mainstream look. I still remember, my wife was not used to doing that. I think she just didn't really eat. But when we were first married, and I remember once we had my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig, came for Shabbos. So Rabbi Rosenzweig was with me in shul. We were living in Baltimore. But I remember later that afternoon, my wife said, I was just surprised. Rabbi Rosenzweig came upstairs from the guest room. She said, "Where's the Becher?" He said, "I wasn't expecting that." She made a whole kiddush. So yeah, exactly. If you really want to eat, if you're not going to eat, it's okay. You don't have to make kiddush on your own. If you want to eat before going to shul, you want to eat before lunch. It could be, in America especially, it could be 2 or 3 hours to lunch. So then you should make a kiddush. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is saying a leniency. He's saying maybe you don't have to do that. It depends on how much you want to eat.
So if you don't have to do that, should you be making brachos and then eating, or do you eat before you even make brachos?
No, you shouldn't. Again, if you're asking me, you should not do anything more than coffee before making brachos. Because there's two separate halachos. There's an halacha that applies 7 days a week, including Shabbos, which I'm relatively strict on, which I think that even women really should be.
Coffee only?
That's what I think, yes.
Shabbos morning coffee's fine before that.
Yes, I do it. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes, hopefully we'll both see each other in a good place after 120, not in the other one. But
coffee.
Yes, then I'll be fine. Anyway, but yes, that's the halacha every day of the week. But once you've davened, then you can't even have the coffee.
But brachos is brachos enough to say you've davened?
Again, they have to go back to the recordings. I gave all sorts of shurim on women and davening. It's better to do the real davening, but if a person was really hungry or you don't have time to do anything else, that would be sufficient. But then there's a separate issue, which is the kiddush issue. So if a person, again, I don't know how hungry you have to be, then you eat Friday night. I mean, but if you're so hungry, you had to, and you don't want to, and you don't have time, or you can't do a more full davening, okay, so then make brachos. But then, the question is, what then? So the what then, according to most posts, would be presumably, okay, now make kiddush. And on Shabbos morning, we already saw, what's kiddush on Shabbos morning? It could be just as little as Bar Pei Hagafen. Or you could add out Kein Beirach, whatever your custom and your family is. But really, Bar Pei Hagafen is enough on Shabbos morning. And then you could have whatever. That's obvious, you could have whatever after that. I'm just including that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a kiddush. He thinks once you've davened, whatever you want to define as davening now, which is not our topic, but let's say you call it brachos, ideally something more than that. Once you've done that, I would have said on my own, now a woman has to make kiddush. So Rabbi Stroh is like
that. A man.
For sure has to make kiddush.
See, because I went to my cousin, who are totally Israeli, and I saw they said brachos before they sat down and had their coffee with whatever cake.
Who's the husband?
What?
Okay, no, so there are, that's a separate thing. Also, the same people probably make kiddush on schnapps. Could be.
I don't know. I just saw that they actually make
brachos. It's a chassidim in general. There are people who just aren't careful about halacha. I don't want to cast any person on your cousins, but they certainly exist as a category in population. I'm saying, but even people are very careful about halacha. Chassidim in general, not only Chabad, although Chabad is famous for this, but other Chassidim are more makel to make brachos and then eat.
But my father was Litvak, totally Litvak, not Chassidish, and he would never leave the house without his cake and coffee.
Okay,
before.
Yeah,
and this
wonderful.
Is Europe.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you, fine, Baruch Hashem. I don't know what else to tell you. But it's fine. But if you ask me what to do, certainly for men, but also for women, usually would be during the week to daven before you have anything but coffee or water. Again, you want to start getting orange juice and stuff. This is not our topic right now. But on Shabbos, and this I want to conclude with, on Shabbos, you have two separate points. This is what I'm trying to, don't be confused. First is the davening issue. However you're yotzei the davening issue, then really there should be a chiyuv of kiddush. And therefore, there are many, many women, and I think this is the more proper thing, after you've davened, if your husband's not going to be home yet, or whatever your situation is, so you can make kiddush, which is not that hard. It's just Bar Pei Hagafen or one other pasuk, and then you can eat.
And it's the whole cup of wine, like the whole.
You have to drink. Yeah, we didn't discuss today's shir what you have to drink, but yes, you have to drink the wine or the grape juice. You can't just say the word. Someone has to drink it. Let's put it that way. But we didn't. I'm not discussing now at the last second. Again, maybe this will be all the reasons why we have to have a second, maybe a third or fourth or fifth shir on kiddush. There's a lot of topics we didn't discuss today. But I'm just pointing out that according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I'm trying to give you ladies a kula, you won't let me finish. The kula, according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is if you're just going to have a little nosh, a little bit of a cake, he said. Again, I don't know how much is a little, really, he says. A little bit. Then he says, you know, you can do it even without kiddush. Okay, so whether you know it or not, if you weren't making kiddush, but having a little nosh, so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has your back. But really, I think most poskim would tell you to make kiddush, and as long as you can eat more than a little bit of cake, then you definitely have to make kiddush.
What's a little
bit? I don't know. He didn't say really. He's not so clear. Just make kiddush. It's Bar Pei Hagafen.
It's a lot of wine.
Yeah. How much does it have to be? It doesn't have to be that much at all.
No.